I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It's true. Star Wars is my happy place. The last 7 days have been a lot. They've been extra. My washer just broke, as in kaput, done. And the repairman wanted $800 as a start to fix it. Oh, I know many of you have got similar challenges, right? It's your dishwasher, it's your dryer, it's your refrigerator, it's some appliance, your microwave. It's crazy because you take it for granted until you don't have it anymore. So over the weekend, the laundry went to the laundromat, and I haven't done that since I was in college. I don't remember the last time I went to a laundromat. So this is a dire situation. I spent 2 hours looking for washers on Thursday afternoon before the football game kicked off. Why? Because the hallway where my washer currently sits, and it's got a dryer stacked on top of it. They're not stackables, but they are stacked on top of each other. That's where the previous owners of the home put them. It's a small space. And apparently in the entire world, there are only two washers that are the same depth as the one that I have. So it was a frustrating washer search. And then you factor in the expense and the installation and everything else. And yeah, it was one of those afternoons where I thought, okay, football will be an escape. And I desperately need Star Wars, like the lady in the Calgon commercial. Calgon, take me away. Is that too old? Do people remember the Calgon commercial? Isn't it it's a soap or... No, is it a... I think it's a soap or it's a bubble bath? Now I'm going to have to Google it.
It Calgon, sounds a little familiar.
Take me away. You're going to have to find it. Google it, and I bet you'll find the YouTube video for Calgon, take me away. But now I don't remember if it was a soap or if it was a bubble bath. It was old. It goes back to my childhood.
Looks like a bubble bath.
A bubble bath. Okay. So that's how I equate Star Wars. When I need an escape, beyond football even, Star Wars, take me away.
It's a exhilarating bath and body experience that stimulates the senses.
You need to have the line. It's the catchphrase that everyone knows from that generation. Calgon, take me away.
Let me see what I can do.
All right. Producer Jay's clearly out of his element right now.
I wouldn't know if it's the right one if I got it, but
we'll see. Well, then don't play it until I hear it, because I don't want you to play the wrong thing. That would defeat the purpose. Those of you who know exactly what I'm talking about, you're nodding right now. You remember, it's a walk down memory lane. It goes way back. It's a throwback Thursday, or it was a throwback Thursday. Now, it's a Friday! Happy almost weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for letting me vent a little bit about a broken washer that went kaput and a search for a washer that would fit in a teeny tiny little space and will allow the dryer to sit on top of it. Not as easy as it sounds. So whether it's Calgon or it's football or it's Star Wars, I need it this weekend.
That does it! Calgon, take me away!
There
Lose
you go.
Your cares.
Lose your cares. Calgon, take me away! Jay, you admit, now you want to watch the whole thing, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a frazzled housewife.
Do they still sell this?
That's a good question. Maybe on eBay? Do you think anyone has leftover Calgon bubble bath on eBay?
I could use an exhilarating
bath now
and
I need
body
to experience. Now I need to Google it. You could.
Yeah, this weekend, why not?
You could use a Calgon bath experience.
It would be nice.
Calgon, take me away. Let me see if anything's available. I see the video. Oh my gosh, it's from the 80s. Like I said, takes me back to when I was a kid. You can actually Google, what does Calgon take me away mean?
What's the answer?
Okay, here we go. It's the catchphrase for stressed out people everywhere during an advertising blitz for the bath products in the 70s and 80s. Commercials featuring haggard moms escaping to soothing bubble baths seem to resonate with anyone who'd ever had a bad day. Oh, it's very popular, Jay. Very popular. You missed out. It's like never having seen Michael Jordan play. You missed out on Calgon. Take me away.
Take me away.
So before that, they're just watching the ad without the volume. It's like it's showing her in traffic. It's showing her boss yelling at her. It's showing her.
Wow. Bosses can't yell at their employees anymore. That's against the rules and against the law.
So she had a rough day. She really, it shows her kids screaming now.
See, yeah, I told you, frazzled mom. Bath and beauty products. Jay's on board with Calgon. You could use
the dog. That does it.
That's me, the dog. That does it. Penny in her donut collar.
I mean, she looks really relaxed, though, when she's in the Calgon.
Yes, in the tub, you mean?
Well, in the she
jacuzzi.
Did it, right?
Well, yeah, she gets into the big jacuzzi tub. It's an enormous tub, too.
Massive.
People don't have tubs like this in their regular homes. At least I don't.
And it's got like actually Roman columns in it, if you
right.
see this one
so
commercial.
So clearly she lives in a mansion where she probably has a maid and a nanny and a housekeeper.
I'm thinking that that's just what she's thinking that she's in because she's so comfortable in the Calgon that it's like, I'm in this paradise.
Got you. So she's actually in the shower or she's just dipping her toe in a bucket of water.
It could be a sink. Yeah. Who knows?
She's washing her hair in the sink.
Bucket outside.
She's actually not washing her hair at all because she doesn't have time. She's just quick in the shower and out, but it's a Calgon experience. So in her mind, she's in a large jacuzzi tub and her hair's up and there are bubbles all around her. Uh-huh. Or you could just watch Star Wars.
Does it? Calgon, take me away.
It's Jay's new favorite thing. You're welcome, Jay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not going to tell you that we're going to post the link on our social media, but for those of you that needed that walk down memory lane, you're also welcome. We've got the After Hours Game of the Week poll. Dolphins, Chiefs, Frankfurt. Not a Frankfurter, but Frankfurt. Seahawks, Ravens, also a battle of first place teams. How about that? Cowboys, Eagles from the NFC East, bitter rivalry. And then Bills, Bengals. And I will only tell you this. It is an extremely contentious poll right now among three of the four. You can probably guess which three. But I want you to vote. We need you to vote. You want me on that wall. You need me. What is it with me quoting things right now? My brain is a spaghetti plate and I'm pulling all kinds of strands of spaghetti off of it or out of it. So the poll's up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. I will try to remain serious from this point forward. What? You don't believe me? Okay, fine. Thank you, Jay. I'm glad that someone believes me. We started off week 9 in Pittsburgh where there was a healthy amount of booing. I will say that. And if you were watching social media during Titans and Steelers, Will Levis was getting more of the praise from, I don't know, the smart football people out there who are on Twitter talking about how they'd rather take Levis than Kenny Pickett and yada, yada, yada. All right, I got you, except that one hallmark of Kenny Pickett's young career is that when the fourth quarter arrives, he gets down to some business. And he certainly did do that against the Titans on Thursday night.
Pickett in the shotgun. Slot to his wide side right. Gets the snap. He's back. Throws that pass down the right sideline. The pass is pulled in. That is Deontay Johnson getting behind a defender inside the 30, inside the 25, to the 23-yard line of the Titans. He beat former Steeler Terrell Edmonds on that play. Scoreboard asking the fans for quiet so the Steelers can operate this goal line offense efficiently. After the defensive hold is called on the Titans, first and goal at the 3. Pickett in the shotgun. Gets the snap. Looks right. Deontay Johnson wide open. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. The Steelers march it 92 yards to take the lead.
That's Deontay Johnson's first touchdown in what, a couple seasons?
Yes.
20 games. 20 games. Are you kidding me? Way to go, Deontay. You saved the best for when the Steelers needed it most.
That drive would explain the ginormous grin on the face of Deontay Johnson, not just hauling in the deep pass on third down, but also wide open. So give Matt Canada credit because he's the one dialing up the plays and actually was on the sidelines, which his young quarterback appreciated.
It was good. I think, you know, we communicate really well with the headset. No one else really gets a chance to do that with him. So I think, you know, him being able to go over to each position group and kind of get on the same page with them and let them know what we're thinking going into each drive, I think it definitely was a positive.
So Kenny Pickett leads this go-ahead drive in the fourth quarter, about 4 minutes on the clock. So that was a 92-yard march, as you hear with Bill Hillgrove and company there on Steelers radio. Took more than 5 minutes off the clock. You know what it did? And as I was watching it, I was thinking, wow, the defense is getting a nice blow here. It's late in the game. They haven't had to deal with Derrick Henry or Will Levis for a good chunk of time. They can sit. They can catch their breath. They can get ready. And yeah, it was on the Steelers' defense to keep that game close because for large stretches, the Steelers' offense didn't have forward motion. But with a little extra energy, a little extra time sitting on the bench during that drive, when the Titans got on the field again, they were stopped on fourth down, and they had just one last opportunity.
Wide side to his left. Slot that way on third and five at the 19 with 11 seconds to go. Here's the snap, four-man rush. He looks, he fires for the end. Intercepted, and that is Quan Alexander, his first of the season, and this game is over.
How about that? Quan Alexander dropping deep in the middle of the field, and he launches himself upwards and stretches and catches that rock as it's coming in. What a great grab by Quan Alexander. You got to love that. That's the way to finish it. It's a drop the mic moment. Take that pigskin, take it home, put it on your mantle, because by golly, you deserve it, Quan. Great job.
Obviously, it could have been cleaner. First and foremost, from a penalty perspective, part of being a tough team to beat first is not kicking your own butt, man, and we kind of been doing that some, and we got to own that. And so we will. We'll review it. We'll learn from it. We'll look at it. We'll bring some officials into our practice setting in an effort to be cleaner because that was catastrophic, really, in a lot of instances to our efforts tonight.
When was the last time you heard a coach in the NFL use the word catastrophic in a post-game press conference? It's so good. He's so fun. He's unique. There's no one else like Mike Tomlin. But he does make a good point. 10 penalty flags. It seemed like four of them came on one of the earlier drives against the defense when the Titans were on the move. So 80 yards in flags. And he says we're going to bring in some officials to practice, which I think is probably something that teams employ, but you don't often hear coaches talk about it. But critical for them if they want to continue getting better and keep up in the AFC North. So love the way the defense performed. First interception for Will Levis in his young career, his now two starts. And it wasn't nearly as easy as it was a week ago when he had the four touchdown passes, but that stands to reason considering the Steelers' defense. Got sacked several times. Goodness, T.J. Watt, he's a one-man wrecking crew, even without his helmet. Did you see that moment where one of the Titans' offensive linemen is trying to stop him and has got a hold of his head and his face mask and rips his helmet off, and T.J. just continues toward Will Levis and gets to the quarterback. There was a rumor going around the Steelers' locker room that some of the Titans had posed on the midfield logo. Elandon Roberts did not know whether or not it was true, but still took it as motivation. It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be a story that's told in the Steelers locker room. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So yeah, cool for the Steelers to get yet another fourth quarter rally. But is this a springboard now? I said it 2 weeks ago against the Rams. They had fourth quarter touchdowns, a pair of them, to come back and beat LA. Can they take this momentum moving forward? Or is this just how they do it? Now, honestly, the AFC North is a bunch of win-ugly teams. Even the Bengals, they haven't yet fully found their stride. They're coming off a great win against the Niners last week. But they've had to scrap. They've had to fight. They've had to claw. The other three teams in this division, Browns and the Ravens, obviously, and then the Steelers, they just win ugly. It's really a hallmark of the division. And considering how tightly they are all bunched together, you take the wins any way you can get them. As for Will Levis, short work week. I don't know if Ryan Tannehill ever sees the field again for the Titans. I rather doubt it, even when he's healthy, because there's a lot to like about Will, though this was another loss, and they're now 3-5.
Losing sucks, especially at this level. You know, it's just so hard to win games, and when you got an opportunity like that to win it at the end and it doesn't happen, it makes it feel a whole lot worse. But, I mean, credit to them. They made the plays when they needed to, and we didn't. Got to get back to work. Got to finish drives. The yards don't mean anything if you don't finish those drives, for sure. I mean, we're not going to force anything, but we're just going to do our jobs and play the field position battle if we need to. But obviously you want to score points, and couldn't get it done as much as we needed to tonight.
Steelers D good at stopping the run, limiting Derrick Henry. He had a score, but not over 100 yards. Meanwhile, the Steelers themselves at 166 yards rushing, despite all the penalties. Now, there was this moment. Oh, first of all, Trey Burks is okay. He has movement, and he was taken to the hospital. We can hear from Mike Vrabel talking about that. That was fourth quarter, and it was a scary moment.
The way it looked, I think that it's probably better than how it looked. So he's alert, and he's in the training room being evaluated.
Yeah, and then there was the report that he had gone to the hospital. So it is good that it looked worse than it was, according to Mike Vrabel. Another moment, though, post-game that gave people pause is hearing Mike Vrabel talk about his own pass rush, so the Titans' defense.
You got to win. You got to line up, and you got to win, and you got to execute. And, there's no secret formula. We can blitz all day. That brings, challenges. I mean, we can mix, pressure. But you got to line up, and you got to. You got to beat somebody, and that's what defensive football comes down to.
So you feel your guys aren't consistently winning those matchups, right?
No. I mean, if they were, we would hit the quarterback, and we would make sacks. And I mean, if they were consistently doing that, I mean, they know that. So we have to, keep working and keep forcing them into longer yardage situations. And then if ultimately make a decision, if you can't send four, then you send five, and then you're running out of guys. You can send six, and that's blitz zero.
Mike Vrabel clearly frustrated. The body language, the facial expressions on the sidelines. A post game, as he's going back and forth with reporters, he's talking about how his pass rush is not winning, and they're not getting to the quarterback, and they're not hitting the quarterback, and not impeding the quarterback a whole lot. Now, the official numbers, if we're talking about sacks and QB hits, well, he's right. There are no sacks, as in zero sacks of Kenny Pickett, and only two quarterback hits. Other pressures in there, but they didn't make life uncomfortable for him. They did not cause the pocket to collapse a whole lot. Now, here's Jeffrey Simmons once he hears the comments or hears about the comments of Mike Vrabel.
Far, I know the ball was getting out quick. I'm not going, until we watch the film, I'm not going to say we just couldn't affect the quarterback. Like I said, we eventually, when he do hold the ball, I think we affect the quarterback. But at the end of the day, we watch the film and, we made the correction. If the guys didn't win any matchup, that's something we need to talk about. But I mean, the ball was getting out quick, and we just had to rally to it. But at the end of the day, we're not going to keep doing that back and forth. Something we need to talk about in the meeting rooms, especially matchup or whatever it may be. Like I said, we need to watch the tape before we could just start pointing fingers or whatever it may be.
It's a fairly diplomatic answer from the defensive lineman, Jeffrey Simmons. But this is a sign of a fractured, I don't want to say completely fractured locker room, because that's not necessarily fair, but it is a sign of stress on your locker room. Losing exacerbates anything that could possibly be a cancer in a locker room. losing exposes the weaknesses of your locker room. Losing exposes a lack of leadership in your locker room. And so here you got Jeffrey Simmons, a veteran on that Titans squad, saying, I don't think we should be pointing fingers. We need to watch the tape. If we're not winning our matchups, well, that's one thing. If we're getting beat, that's one thing. But he's getting rid of the ball early. Just a sign of the friction there. Sign of how much losing can take a toll as the Titans fall to 3-5. And I said this earlier, you would think changes are in the wind because it's gone steadily downhill since about middle of last season when the Jaguars ended up grabbing the AFC South title. Now they've got Will Levis. If he turns out that they let him go the rest of the season and he's their quarterback of the future, that could be a positive step forward. But is Mike Vrabel the one to lead them? Will there be changes with the coaching staff? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, vote for the After Hours Game of the Week, our Facebook page 2. If you did not hear Devontae Adams after a couple of days with Antonio Pierce and post Josh McDaniels, you don't want to miss that. James Harden gives you the reason why Philadelphia treated him so horribly wrong. And then a little more on week 9 in the NFL because it's here. And also 3 weeks until Thanksgiving. Not even now, 3 weeks until Thanksgiving. Happy Friday.
Get the best workout with the best kept secret in fitness. Hydro, the state-of-the-art at-home rower. Hydro engages 86% of your muscles, delivering the ultimate full-body workout in just 20 minutes. From advanced to beginner, Hydro has over 4,000 classes that are shot all over the world and are taught by Olympians and world-class athletes. For a 30-day risk-free trial with free standard shipping, go to Hydro.com and use code FIT500 to save up to $500. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT500.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in 3 washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Calgon, take me away!
Away!
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Garoppolo out of the gun. There's the snap. Garoppolo back. Garoppolo going to get hit.
Yes, sir.
Sacked again. Alex Anzalone got him. 34 with a big play in the Lions. Takeover on down.
I honestly don't know what to say at this moment. I truly don't. I wish I had the words to say something that's not going to get blown up in the media and taken out of context. So I'm going to just, I just don't know.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It doesn't happen often, hasn't happened often in Devontae Adams' career, but multiple times in the last month, he's expressed the frustration and even the lack of answers for why the Raiders have been so bad offensively and why they've regressed. And that lack of understanding, that lack of adjustment, that lack of forward progress is the reason why Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler were fired by Mark Davis after week 8. Just the embarrassing nature of their last 2 losses and the fact that there was no spark. Both Devontae and Josh Jacobs, being underutilized. And the offense among the absolute worst in the league. No, literally. Even though McDaniels is a guy who is supposed to excel, have great offensive expertise. So we now know Antonio Pierce is the interim head coach. And if you missed my conversation with Hondo Carpenter in Vegas a couple hours ago, and maybe you did if you were sleeping, really good insight about what the last 2 days have been like in the locker room. He used the F word. Oh, no, no, not that F word. A different one in Devontae Adams.
I think that's kind of the mindset we're having, just, you know, trying to have fun and enjoy our time in this building. Because I think, you know, as we speak to each other, it's been too much of this has just been feeling like work too much and not having enough fun. So we just got to get back to that.
Fun. It's a word that I heard repeatedly from Hondo. There's a lightness. There's an attitude of, hey, this is still a game. Yeah, we get paid a lot of money, and yeah, there's a lot of stakes, and yes, we're out there putting our bodies on the line, but it's supposed to be fun. And according to Hondo, and I really encourage you to get that conversation on our podcast, there was no fun with Josh McDaniels. Not that he was encouraging the players to keep their attitudes and their personalities to themselves. Nah, he was okay with them speaking out. That was one way that he was different from Bill Belichick, his mentor. But he didn't seem like he was having much fun, win or lose. And it took its toll. The locker room took its cue from him, and it took its toll on the locker room. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, to a man, didn't hear anyone say anything negative about Josh McDaniels, but also have heard guys like Max Crosby, and this was part of Hondo's conversation as well, react to Antonio Pierce and his first couple days with a newfound enthusiasm.
First off, just giving my thanks to Coach McDaniels and Dave Ziegler. You know, the second I got that Coach McDaniels was going to be our next head coach, he reached out to me right away, ends up giving me a life-changing contract. Got a ton of respect for those guys and wishing the best moving forward. Obviously, we're on to new things. We got our boy Antonio Pierce stepping in as the interim head coach. He's as real as they come. I know Raider Nation is fired up about it. Real Raider from day one. He's from Compton. He's been Raider fan since he was born. Obviously, being a former player, won multiple Super Bowls playing in New York on those great teams. He was a captain. He just has that element of understanding the player's perspective, but also being a coach. His introductory press conference, you know, he wants to match my energy. I already sent him a nice little text saying no f***ing chance. You know, team meeting was lit. We're definitely fired up, you know, going into this week.
From YouTube and Max Crosby's daily, or not daily podcast, but his podcast, in which he talks about the Raiders and pass rush and everything else, it's called The Rush. So Micah Parsons has the edge. Max Crosby has the rush. Again, he's echoing what I heard from Hondo, which is that the reaction to Antonio Pierce in his first press conference, he said it was lit. What Hondo said is the whole locker room erupted in hearing what Pierce had to say about having fun, about being passionate, about pursuing victory, pursuing wins together and not giving up, and turning the second half of the season into something to be proud of. A lot of reasons to root for Antonio Pierce. He also told the guys he wants them to experience what he did as a Super Bowl champion. He wants them to taste it. So definitely listen to The Rush, but also listen to our conversation with Hondo Carpenter on the podcast. We post the link every weekday morning right after the show is done on both our Twitter and Facebook. So After Hours CBS, our Facebook page is named after the show. The reaction from Devontae and Max and others in Raiders Nation, decidedly different than Clippers Nation. Getting James Harden on board, and yet the reaction I've gotten from basketball fans is only wait until the other shoe drops. Either we are all seeing it somehow completely wrong, and we don't get it, and we don't understand James, and we're all buying some lies, and he's not made life difficult for any of his previous teams. He's not called anyone a liar. He's not disgruntled. He didn't force his way out of multiple cities and multiple franchises. Nah, he wants you to believe that we've got it all wrong.
There's more detail, more, you know, to where I can't talk about, but there's a lot of narratives. You know, I don't have social media, but there's a lot of narratives and people talking, and just they have people think they have an opinion or a voice. And other people listen to it, you know what I mean? But none of that is true. I'm not the type to go back and forth or be explaining myself, because you're always going to take something out of what I say and make it into a different story. So long story short, I'm happy I'm here. I'm excited to be able to show how good individually and how good this team can be and is going to be.
It's the age-old response. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. What you hear and what you see is wrong. I'm not going to fight back, clap back, except that's exactly what he did. He went on to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers and how, yeah, the team is the one that wanted to get rid of James. It wasn't the other way around. James wanting to quit the Sixers.
Me leaving Brooklyn and thinking I'm going to retire as a Sixer, you know what I mean? And the front office had other plans. You know, they didn't want me. And it's that simple.
They didn't want me because they wouldn't give me the max deal. I guess that is as cut and dried as he can make it. They didn't want me because they didn't give me the max deal. And calling Daryl Morey a liar. But he goes on to say that they put him on a leash. So that was an interesting phrase from James, that the Sixers put him on the leash and that he wasn't free when he played with them.
When I meant a leash, I'm not meant just shooting the basketball every time. I meant like I think the game and I'm a creator on the court. You know what I mean? So if I got a voice to where I can, hey, coach, I see this. You know, what you think about this? Then it's like, all right, okay. Like somebody that trusts me, that believes in me, that understands me, that I'm just not a, you know, I'm not a system player. I am a system.
He refers to Doc Rivers, presumably there, because he talks about the coach. Except it doesn't really jive because he had the ball in his hands all the time. He led the league in assists last year. Now, some of the credit goes to Joel Embiid, but how do you lead the league in assists if you don't have the ball in your hands, if you're not creating, if you're not free to wheel and deal and do your thing on the court? And Joel Embiid, of course, he heard about this following the Sixers win last night.
I just feel like, you know, we allowed him to just be himself and we gave him the ball every single possession.
We allowed him to be himself. We gave him the ball on every single possession. He did a pretty good job of getting us into an offense and passing the ball, getting guys open. That's the reason he won the assist title last year. Yeah. He wanted a trade. He ultimately got it because we all know what happens when James Harden is unhappy. I was on a leash. I was restricted. I'm not a system player. I am a system. What the hell does that mean?
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
Could you imagine those words coming out of Steph Curry's mouth? And Steph Curry would actually have a reason to say it.
I would say, no, I can't, and that's why he has four championships.
Remember all those years that Tom Brady was accused of being a system quarterback? Could you imagine him ever uttering the words, I'm not a system QB, I am the system? Oh my gosh. It's just gross.
Next question.
It's not just arrogant. It's untrue. And how is it that he goes on to say in his press conference, we don't have time to hear it, but he goes on to say in his press conference that he can go anywhere and mesh with anyone and that they can make a run for a championship together. Weird, because I don't recall him winning any of those. Call me crazy, but his reputation is more about me, 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 what I want, what I need. And yeah, there's motivation with the next group he pairs up with, the next group of guys that he joins. Okay, this will be the place where we make a run. But it's always about James. Always about James. And like I said, when James ain't happy, no one's happy. On Twitter, vote for the After Hours Game of the Week. Healthy voting already, and boy, is it tight. A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I would think it's the biggest rivalry in football, at least. Obviously, a lot of history there. A lot of great players played in this game against these two, you know, really good teams. And obviously, a lot of playoff implications and division, you know, implications. It's probably going to be the game of the week. I would think so. I expect a sold-out crowd. It's going to be really exciting. And obviously, I'm super excited to play in it.
Last week, I said they were the best team in the NFL. Do I still believe that it's true? And yeah, I do. You know, I'm not a person that lives in denial. I don't think the Eagles play their best football at all yet. They know they're so good that they can beat a lot of teams off of talent. They have the most talented roster in the NFL, without a doubt. They got talent at wide receiver, running back, D-line. I mean, they just got crazy talent. So I still do believe they're the best team. But at the end of the day, you still got to go out there, compete, and execute.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Byard, a new Eagle, and Micah Parsons on the edge. I'm telling you, he is angling for a broadcasting job. Maybe he wants to be on the NFL on CBS alongside Nate Burleson and Bill Cowher and our friend Boomer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Laugh now, cry later.
They called it the game of the week. I got to go with that. I actually voted for Cowboys-Eagles as the game of the week, though I'm really happy that all four candidates are in completely different windows. They're all airing or all being played at different times, starting with the first ever game in Frankfurt, Dolphins-Chiefs. Oh, by the way, Tyreek Hill is facing the Chiefs again now for the first time, but not at Arrowhead.
It doesn't really matter where we play at. I mean, obviously, it would have been great to play in KC. But it really doesn't matter where we play at. You feel me? They're going to get this work wherever, though. Look, y'all ready to use that.
He also would like to have a broadcasting job when he's done with his career. I don't think that's going to happen, but he would like one.
Hey, Cheetah, let's get it, baby.
He's well on his way to a 2,000-yard receiving season. What can he do against his former team in Frankfurt? Then you've got Seahawks-Ravens, two first-place teams. Uh-huh, I said it. Cowboys-Eagles, NFC Beast. Ooh, it's going to be bitter. I cannot wait. And then finally, Bills and Bengals on Sunday Night Football. It's a very tight race right now, so check it out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Coming from Cowboys-Eagles, yeah, Jalen Hurts. And the Eagles, they've actually rallied. Now, this is a sign of a couple of teams, but a sign of a team that plays all the way through the end. A sign of a team that can get stronger and can morph and adjust and change over the course of a game and can figure out what's happening on the field and make their adjustments accordingly. So they've won six in a row in which they've trailed by double figures.
Just believing, continue to play the game. Not letting the scoreboard or whatever is going on in the game in that moment determine how we come out and play. So obviously I've had a ton of different games on this run here, but I think it all comes down to execution and how you execute. And so just want to do that at a high level.
It's always philosophical for Jalen Hurts. You can learn a lot by listening to Jalen. Dak Prescott was asked about facing Jalen, even though it's not something we've seen a lot.
Crazy to think it's only been one time. But obviously, I was hurt the one year when he kind of took over. And then I guess we're just sitting out guys the next year, whether it was their go or then both of us being injured at different times last year, it makes sense. But it's a lot of excitement. Makes the game better, obviously. It's a matchup we look forward to it every year. And I'm sure they do as well, and it'll be a great one.
I'm really looking forward to this one. I had to vote for it as the game of the week for so many reasons. The two teams know each other well. Familiarity breeds that contempt. The Cowboys have a defense that is so much fun to watch. It's got a ton of superstars, obviously, and it's been the offense that's less than consistent. But the offense looked good last week, real good. Actually, last 2 weeks, playing the LA teams, take of that what you will. It's only been not even a month since they got blasted by the Niners, and the offense looked horrible, but you got to start somewhere. CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, a clear connection. It's been working. But of course, there will be a lot of jawing and maybe even some heckling. So, CD, what's the meanest thing, the nastiest thing you've ever heard from a Philly sports fan?
I feel like that's a trap question. Definitely, but I'm not gonna quote them. But I've had my fair share of Philly fans in my DM.
In my DMs, not even on the field, not even from the fans in the stands. No, in my DMs. Are your DMs open, CD? My DMs are not open.
Who heckles in DM? I know people do it.
So many people.
It's like, come on.
So many people.
It's the lamest form of heckling or anything. If you're going to do it, at least if you see the guy, you're at the game, you heckle, you want to scream out, fine. Like, as you know, we've been to games. I have fun. But to go into somebody's DMs.
Jay does enjoy heckling. I'll affirm that.
Come on. Loser move.
So it's a cowardly move is what you're saying? If you're going to do it for people to see?
Well, do it so at least, I don't know, if he could hear you, you're at the game in the right environment. Don't slide into the DMs where, like, what are you doing?
It's creepy.
Really? You're taking the time to log in and go in? I don't know.
This is a reason why my DMs, A, are not open, except for people who we follow each other. And then the other thing is we do not accept Facebook messages. Messenger is turned off on our page because that's exactly what people do. It's two extremes because they think they're anonymous and no one else can see it. As if you can't take a screenshot and show the entire world, right? It's either creepy things I wouldn't repeat, marriage proposals, all kinds of creepy. Ugh. Or it's the other end where people rip you, like CD is saying, into his DMs. I assumed when I first heard the question that he was going to answer about the Philly fans that are in the stands, right? The heckling, kind of like
right.
What we've heard from Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, Chicago.
That's okay,
that kind
me.
Of thing. Really? Even if it's
to
completely
an extent,
vulgar?
But no, right. To an extent. But if you're going to heckle, do it at least where, if he's going to hear you, that's the part of it. That's the point.
Own
right?
it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to do it, own it. Except that, no, they slide into his DMs as well. Jay just called you out. Was that maybe the most forceful rant we've ever heard from you?
I don't know.
On this edition of the show? The actual show. I think it might be. That might be Jay calling people lame.
It's a lame move.
It is a lame-o move. So the games of the week options they're impressive. They do not include Rams and Jets on Monday night. Oy. Can we please have the Mannings for that game so I have something to keep me entertained?
I think they flexed themselves out of that one.
Also not Washington and New England. Yikes. All right. We're back here Sunday night. Enjoy your weekend. It's November. Let's get it. We're going to see this work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
This holiday season, give concert and comedy tickets to their favorite artists. Choose from thousands of the hottest upcoming shows, plus other great gifts for every fan on your list, like VIP packages, artist merch, gift cards, and more. You can also ask for concert and comedy tickets with a Live Nation wish list. Just sign in, add your favorite shows, and share with friends and family. Get what you really want this year and gift the unforgettable at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.